have done some lip syncing there, couldn't I? Let it go. Thank God it's Christmas. And I mean, that's a song from years ago, but that's, I know it's not quite Christmas, but we're entering there. So tonight, well, this morning, I've actually entitled this, Thank God It's Christmas, because it's something to look forward to, isn't it? Some people don't like it, some people love it, and everyone's got different ideas about it. But before I want to get into it, one of the main things about Christmas is the gifts that are given. Everybody's panicking, running around. I mean, we were talking about when we come out of a lockdown, we've just come out of the queues in the shops now are horrendous, at least I'm told, because I don't do that sort of stuff. I'm just not bothered. But gifts and presents, you may be interested to know that it's not always been what it is now with the gifts. In fact, for the first 300 years of Christianity, nobody celebrated Christmas. Because under the Jewish customs, the birth of somebody wasn't important. It was their life and what they achieved and their death that was important. They never remembered people's birth, they always remembered their death. So in the early church, they never celebrated Christmas. In fact, the tradition of giving presents was actually a Roman thing. In ancient Rome, they would give presents about the winter solstice, 21st of December is what we have it as. But as Christianity increased and spread, the custom of giving presents about that time of year spread with the Roman Empire. But the church really didn't do it at all. It's obviously from about 336 is when they first decided to move or celebrate Jesus' birth on the 25th of December. So at this point, they're still not really tying in the whole gift things. But then they read in the Bible about when the Magi came at his birth, and that's when they were celebrating his birth, and we got the nativity scene where those guys brought gifts, so they thought, let's do that. But this was the problem. Those who were in charge says, you're right. The Magi brought gifts and gave gifts to one who was superior to them. Therefore, you should give gifts to those who are superior to you. So they started having to give gifts to people who were higher up in society for them. But about the turn of 1,000 years or so, it kind of came to a point, and it was really because of the story of Good King Wessels came out, and another story about another historical person who claimed to be a gift giver, that they started changing from giving gifts to people superior to you to starting to give people gifts who were poor. So even at this point, they're still not giving it to family members. They only started giving it. So as the church, Christianity spread, they stopped giving gifts to the wealthy and started giving it to the poor. And when the Reformation started, the custom of giving it to other people who were higher than you really stopped. And the idea of giving it to the poor really engaged. And also throughout the Middle Ages, if you ever wondered why we've got traditional Boxing Day, it's because on Boxing Day, the church throughout the year would have a box at the back of the church and people would put money in it. And then on Boxing Day, or usually Monday, if it happened, Boxing Day, the 26th happened to be on a Sunday, they'd move it to Monday, and they would open that box up and share that money out to the poor people, hence the Boxing Day. But it also comes from the fact that most employers at that time who were wealthy would give their employees, servants and people like that on Boxing Day or the Monday, a box containing a gift, money, and sometimes leftover food from the day before, because on Boxing Day, the servants and the employees were allowed to go see their families and they would take their gifts home with them. So the idea of giving gifts to the families then started to spread a little bit deeper. But actually, believe it or not, the idea of giving gifts to your children and to family members really didn't come until over 200 years ago. And primarily it came about because shopkeepers and toy makers in New York, United States, decided that it'd be good to give gifts to your kids. So they started pushing the idea of you deserve it and your children deserve it. Interesting, isn't it? So Christmas originally wasn't celebrated the way we do now. And also, it was about giving gifts to the poor and needy. But over the last 200 years, it's turned inwards to what we have and what we can get. So it was actually from New York, and the shopkeepers there who actually pushed it, and we started concentrating on our own children and our own people instead of the poor. And by the end of the 1800s, Christmas Eve, because they used to give the gifts on Christmas Eve, and then you would open up on Christmas Day. Interesting. Originally, though, St. Stephen's Day, St. Nick's Day, sorry, should I say, was actually the 6th of December. So centuries ago, you used to get gifts on the 6th of December and just after the new year, which I think that's better because you get two piles of gifts, don't you? But in reality, they never give gifts to people who was okay. They always give it to the poor. And it became a point where gifts that had been opened on Christmas Day, and it's, believe it or not, it's England, Britain, and the British Empire it was actually one of the people who pushed most of these traditions, except for New York buying the gifts. But once England got hold of it, it spread. So that's gifts for you. And the problem is that we often get given gifts at Christmas, and you may be a giver of these gifts, those gifts that really we don't need. And those gifts that, really, we don't want. And yet we feel obliged to give gifts. We feel like we need to give people something, because what happens if people give you something and you don't give them back? It can be embarrassing. One year, many years ago, before I was married, a lot of things had changed at my home circumstances. And one year, my dad was in hospital, so I was looking after things. I'd just got myself a job. And I was trying to work and get things sorted. And people started buying me gifts at Christmas, which is good. Unfortunately, I didn't have any money. So I had to unwrap the gifts nicely, look at what it was, rewrap it up and give it to somebody who'd give me a gift. So by the end of Christmas, I actually had no gifts. But everybody around me thought I was really generous because I'd given them all gifts. Because everybody had given me one, I felt I had to give them one back. But the truth is, most of the gifts we get, we don't need, and some of the gifts we get, we don't want. So what are we going to do about those? Well, this is an idea for you. If you do, on a serious note, get gifts this year that you neither need nor want, then hold on to them, bring them down here after Christmas, and then next year, next Christmas, I'm going to put the word out to other people, and the gifts that we get in this year, we will save safely until next year, wrap them up and give them to people who may need them more than we do. So that's just a plug for something. But all this gift giving came from Matthew chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 2, and this is a story of the wise men. And I want you to just realize a few things, that when Jesus was born, the shepherds came to him in the stable. The nativity scene. Now, this is some time later. This probably was it, well, at least months, if not years, after Jesus was born. It said this, chapter 2 of Matthew. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Now, I'll just point out this, that many people are getting a bit excited about the 21st of this month because Jupiter and Saturn line up, and people saying, could this be the star of Bethlehem? And they're all going about that. But they said, "We saw this star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. This was not three guys turning up on little donkeys. Because if three guys turned up on little donkeys, it wouldn't have caused Herod and all Jerusalem to get troubled. This could have been a group of up to 100 or 200 people that turned up. And these magi were the ones from Daniel, If you read Daniel, he was the head of the Magi, and he set a group together to wait for the Messiah, and he told them roughly when he was going to come. And when his star, Daniel said, when his star comes, this is in the Bible, it's in tradition, when his star appears, you go and you worship him. So this group of people were actually Magi, which also means king appointers. So these people from a foreign country had come. It's like a load of people coming from a country, and I was going to say a few, but we won't go there, coming to our country and telling our prime minister and our queen there's now going to be a new king. It wouldn't go down so well. So these guys come and says, where is he? And then we get to verse 7, and they go through all the prophecies, but verse 7 says, then Herod said to them secretly and called the wise men, determined to from them to find out the time the star appeared. Now, this is why later on he kills all the babies up to 2 years old. So this is 2 years his star's been in the sky. This isn't Jupiter and a flash of light from the sun, because a star can't be in the sky for 2 years in the same spot, or at least moving gently. Even if it's a planet, they rotate and vanish. You can see Jupiter, by the way. It's really amazing at the minute. And he sent them to Jerusalem and said, go search carefully for this young child, and when you find him, bring back word to me that I may go and worship him. Verse 9, he says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before him. So the star suddenly started moving. You know why it says the wise men? Because if it had been wise women, they wouldn't have got lost. And they'd have asked for directions if they had. But not only that, if it had turned up at the stable 2 years earlier and it was wise women, first of all, somebody had been carrying a casserole, the other ones had been cleaning up, and the others had been giving Mary rest and kicking all the animals out, where the men just turn up and go, oh, where are you? You know? So anyway, that's the difference between men and women. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they came to the house, underline house. This is not stable. This is not baby Jesus in a manger. This is not poor skint Joseph. He's bought a house. So he's moved on to, I'm only saying that because this is, people always think nativity tradition. That's not so. This is 2 years after probably. And they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and they fell and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now that's where we get the free from. But we don't know how much gold, how much myrrh, and how much frankincense again. And I'm wondering what Joseph was thinking at that time. Ka-ching. You know, Mary could have even been pregnant by now with James, the second child, because they waited 30 days after Jesus was born. She cleansed herself. Then they could carry on. Well, that's when he decided he was going to take her properly and all that stuff kicked in. So she could have even been pregnant by now. That kind of kills the whole other stuff, doesn't it? So this morning, I just want to talk to you guys about the fact that we, even though these wise men brought gifts, we can also bring gifts to people with the stuff we can offer. Now, everyone's panicking now, going, I think I've spent enough. The gifts I'm going to talk about this morning are not gifts where you're going to spend. The first one that I've got, and I'll just step over here, is a gift of encouragement. Every one of us can give the gift of encouragement to people. Every one of us can encourage somebody. You can. You have a choice to give that gift of encouragement or withhold it from anybody. There's another story in the Bible, and this is later on in Jesus' life, when he's walking through something near Jericho, and he comes upon a certain person. And listen to the people encouraging this blind man. He says, this is actually Luke 18, 35. He says, Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man sat at the road begging. Hearing the multitudes passing by, the blind man asked, what does this mean? And he was told that Jesus Nazareth was passing by. So he cried out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before him encouraged him. They don't say that, actually. This is what they said. This is people's encouragement to the blind man. Those who went before him warned him that he should be silent. breed crowd out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know what he'd heard, what was going on. He must have heard of the miracles. And suddenly this Jesus is coming, and the people that often give him pennies told him to shut up, keep quiet. That's not encouragement. He's not being encouraged, but we can encourage one another all the time. There's another verse. This is for us. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We're called by God to encourage and to build up one another, to strengthen, to, and most of our encouragement, most of our building up can come from our mouth. Not necessarily, but you've got the gift of encouragement to people. Now, I know there's certain people that are really good at it. There's certain people that are just excellent. There's certain other people where if you're encouraging, you stay away from them because they're just miserable. Everything's wrong and everything's down. But we can have a choice to encourage people and to actually build people up. But you can encourage people by word, by what you speak, by what you say. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can get on with this. You can encourage them to do something fresh, do something new. You can also encourage people by a smile. You're not encouraging me. It's Sunday. It's nearly Christmas. No, but you can encourage people. Have you ever been doing something and looked across and someone's just smiled? And it's like, yes, yes. At least I know there's one. I always got the one. I've got my wife back there, and I've got maybe the kids sometimes, but definitely these two up front. And just smile, and it's encouraging. And it can help you. You know, if you're running a race, who are you interested in watching you? It was always your parents or somebody you cared for. If they smiled at you, it gives you that extra energy. So it's what we say can encourage people, but also what we, our smiles can encourage people. But sometimes, you know, just an hand on somebody's shoulder, letting them know you're with them, is encouraging. Sometimes knowing if somebody's got your back is encouraging. So this Christmas, we can encourage one another. Give somebody the gift of encouragement through our words, through our smiles, and through our actions, as in just maybe just getting alongside someone. Text somebody. Email, Facebook someone. Send them a smiley face. Tell them you're thinking about them. Tell them to keep on going. If they're struggling, what you might say to them might encourage them. I remember reading about Robbie Williams, and the fact is nobody knew his situation, but he was major depressed. And several people said, you know, the one, the actor, not the singer. And several people said they wish they'd have texted or emailed him or rang him because they thought about him, but they never did because they didn't have enough time. They were busy. But you've got the gift of encouragement. Another gift that you've got that we can all give is a gift of time. You see, time is more precious than gold. You know that, don't you? Because you can always get money and stuff back, but you can never get that time back. Only person who can give us any time back is God, and he can redeem the time. But time is more precious than anything. Don't squander time. I've asked several people, we've been in a lockdown or we've been in some sort of chaos now since March, 9 months. What the heck have you done? What have you done for 9 months? You've not been to the pub, you've not been to the gym, you've not been on holiday. What have you done? And especially people who've been furloughed. What have you done? I mean, you've had the time to do the things you wish you could have done. But some of you are thinking, I wish I could have taken up painting. You could have done. There's enough stuff online. Write a book. Sing a song. Do whatever you can. But time's gone now. But you can still give people the gift of time. You know, it doesn't matter how many gifts you give children. They may smile. They may want more, allegedly. But in essence, what they really want is your time. That's what they want. And yet many parents try to buy off the kids by giving them gifts because they don't want to spend time with them And yet more kids don't. When you've grown up, I mean, look, think of yourselves. You may remember some gifts that you had, but I reckon you remember those times you had with your parents, which were more valuable than the gifts. So I used to go play making dens, and you know, we've got vivid memories of my dad just coming out and making dens. It cost nothing, but he gave us some time, and we made dens. We got muddy, we got black, we put a rope swing up. I can't remember half the presents I got, but I remember the dens. I remember the walks, I remember this, and it's because they spent time with us. You can offer time to people because that's more valuable than anything else. The only problem is it's also taken cheap. We take time as being cheap because we've all got it. But what difference does it make to a person if you give them a little bit of your time? Jesus was probably one of the most determined people that ever walked this earth. Very focused, knew exactly where he needed to be, what he needed to do, and he knew the cross was ahead of him, but he was determined to get there. And yet, his life is full of people that interrupted him. And not once did he turn them away. How many people interrupt our lives and we turn them away because we're busy? How many people do we come across where we could spend 5 minutes with them? The gift of time. But in essence, we're so busy. Really busy getting home to watch that program that's not important. Really busy trying to do something that's really, in the great scheme of things, doesn't really matter. If you're working, it's different and stuff like you've got responsibilities. But in essence, we've all got the gift of encouragement we can give. And we have the gift of time that we can give. And let's see what verse I've got here. Ding. Gift of time. And we've... I'll have to nip round here and just have a look and see where we're... Is that better? Talk about the blind man. The blind man shouted out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. Remember, he was going somewhere. He stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Jesus took time out of his busy schedule for a blind beggar, somebody who was worthless and of no value to anybody else. Yet he stopped, took time out, and dealt with the situation. And we've got the ability to do that as well. We've also got something, at this time of year, many people are lonely, hurting. Many people are in need. But the biggest thing they're in the need of is somebody to talk to and be listened to. They just want time. That's why, you know, you go around to grandparents and they're annoying, aren't they? I mean, I go visit my dad. And he's on his own, and I visit him, and he gives me 2 weeks' worth of thinking conversations in about 10 minutes. It's like he's battling everything. Because he doesn't see that many people, he unloads it, and it's a pain. But it does him the world of good. And I've got to a point where I can sit and nod it. Yep. In my mind, I'm surfing. I've gone somewhere else. I've gone. But for him, it's the world of good. He annoys me sometimes, and there's other stuff going on there. But they are annoying sometimes, people. But you've got the ability to help them. And people are lonely, especially at Christmas. People are in the need of somebody spending a little bit of time with them. The third gift that we can give, see if we log on to the next one. Hey, there we are. Is the gift of meeting a need. So we can encourage. We can spend time with people and meeting a need. Now, straight away, if you're thinking financially, you're missing the point. One of the biggest needs that people want is a bit of love being demonstrated towards them. Back to the guy, the blind man. He says, Jesus stood still and commanded him and brought him to him. And when he came, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. All of the people who saw it gave praise to God. 2 minutes ago, they were encouraging him to actually shut up and go away. Now they're glorifying God. Jesus says to him, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. Jesus took time out and met a need. You know, some people don't need that much. They just want a cup of tea and somebody just to talk to. Encouragement, time, and meeting a need, they're all interwoven. They're all tied together. It's hard to encourage somebody if you're not going to take time out for them. It's false. And to meet a need sometimes takes a little bit more effort, a little bit of creativity. I saw somebody this week, an interesting person. And whatever's going on in your life, you know, it's always sad when we hear of bad things happening to people or people's got a bad history. But this girl that I was talking to, her mum and dad split up when she was young. So she never really knew her dad for many years. He visited and stuff like that. As she got older, you know, she got into a teen. She got pregnant at an early age. She ended up having eventually two boys. And then one of them died. Bad enough, lost her dad's not around really that much. She's now lost her son. A few years after that, she actually lost her mum. Recently, she lost her brother. Her other son's in prison. And I was talking to her going, who is going to meet her need? Her need to know the love of God. Now, obviously, I was there talking to her. I know this person quite well. But in truth, it's not just somebody I meet. It's somebody you meet. It's somebody on your street. Somebody down your way. Somebody at your work. Like, it doesn't matter really about the circumstances. And there are people who've had horrendous lives and there's people that haven't. But loneliness is still crippling. And a lack of encouragement can really hurt people. I got told all my life, you're a fool, you're no good, not good will ever come upon you. Teacher says to me, you better get used to being in a cage because you're going to go to prison. Whoa, good start. You know what I mean? If I didn't get it beat into me, I got it beat out of me. Simple as that. I was encouraged. I was only encouraged to do wrong, never encouraged to do right, and nobody ever had time for me. So I could stand up and say, why should I bother? Because Jesus bothered. And Jesus made the effort. And he left everything to come for me and for you. He came to encourage us. He gave his time. And he met a need. But it wasn't a silly gift. It wasn't, I'm just going to give you a car, even if you might need one, or a house. He gave us life. And he gave us it to the full. But he also offers eternal life with him. The thing that we really needed. A relationship with God. That's what Jesus offered. So we've got the gifts we can do. We can encourage people. We can offer the gift of time. And we can actually meet a need. But this is the last thing I want to just say. Is why not be intentional and give a gift that somebody really needs? You know, some people, you know, you get an extra pair of underpants and you put it with the next 30 you've got in your drawer. Might come in handy. It's like towels at a wedding, isn't it? You know what I mean? They'll come in handy at some point. But there are people, Joe and I used to work a lot with in the red light district in Huddersfield. And at this time of year, you used to look at what some of the girls were wearing and what they were doing. And we used to just do our best to try and help them. Freezing cold weathers and they're going out in, well, short tops and stuff like that because they were cold, because they didn't have a coat. And we helped as much as we could. But my challenge to you guys and to myself is, this Christmas, why not be intentional? Instead of trying to get one up on the family members and neighbours by I bought X amount of gifts, why not consider giving a gift to somebody that really needs it? Instead of giving it to people that, A, don't need it, and sometimes don't even want it. It's just to save face. Don't be drawn in to commercialism. Pulled along with what you've got the most. There's words on adverts nowadays. If you ever listen to the adverts, you'll be appalled. It's all subconscious. But stuff like, you deserve it. You need it. You want it. In fact, there's several adverts that says, buy this product so you can show off how good you are. You know what I mean? Really? Or maybe do something for somebody intentionally, whether encouragement, whether your time, or to meet a need, and they're, again, they're interwoven, to somebody that really needs it. Because Jesus didn't come to the ones who thought they didn't need him. He came for the ones who knew they needed him. In fact, one of the words he said is, you know, the well don't need a doctor. Now, everybody is sick with sin. Everybody needs a saviour. But it's only those who acknowledge they do need one that reach out. We offer Jesus to everybody, but most people, they don't want him. And some people don't think they need him. But those who do realise they need him, then they know they want him. And then he passes it back to... I've written something down recently about God always finishing what he starts. And that right at the beginning, what God started in the Word of God, he always finishes. And when Jesus came and started the work of God, he said, "It is finished." And now the Holy Spirit is working through us to finish the work of God through you and I. And that may be encouraging through word and a smile and maybe an hand on someone's shoulder. It may be giving somebody your time. Because it doesn't matter how much gifts we get given at Christmas or how many we give, you can't take up with you. And when you stand in heaven, the only thing you're going to get is what you've earned on this world in the right sense of earning, as in rewards that are eternal. And I wonder sometimes, especially because I've been dealing with a few people's families who's had a suicide there, but if somebody had smiled at the person that's died, would they have done it? A text? A Facebook response? A message? A knock on the door? Now, some may have continued down that journey. We don't know what's going on in their head. But I wonder if I could have been there. You could have been there. You see, the person next door to you and down the street is not, they're not weird and evil. They're just people struggling, trying to get through life like you are. But you've got Jesus. So that puts us one up already. And if the love of God is abounding in our hearts, it should at least start to spill out to touch other people. If not, you might have bigger problems than trying to encourage somebody else. You may need it. So let me ask you that question again and leave it with this, and then I'm going to pray. Why not be intentional and give a gift that somebody really wants this year? Amen.